Yahoo. All right, we're back. You're listening to Across the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We've taken a little detour here back to Daniel because the Messiah was talking and giving some instruction about the abomination which maketh desolate. And of course, there was a temple there, and he was just at the temple. The disciples said, we're showing him the buildings in and around the temple. And he said, don't you see here that not one stone will be left upon another? And they said to him, when is this going to happen? When will these things be? And then they said, and when will you return? You know, because he was telling him that them that he was going away. He was going to be crucified. And so he had to return. And of course he said he would be resurrected. But anyway, they asked him the question. And then they said, and what will be the end of the age? Or the end of the world, as it says in the King James Version. So they asked him several questions. And finally he gets down to answering it. And he mentions this phrase here, the abomination. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And he's talking to Hebrew Israelite men. They just left the Temple Mount, or they're leaving it at that minute. So we're looking into Daniel here. We discussed the former desolation of the temple because the temple had been destroyed once and rebuilt. And we have several references here to the desolation of the temple. Daniel 11:31, talking about in the midst of the arms and the changing of the nations leading up to the 70th week of Daniel. And we were talking about how the history was so precise and accurate that even many historians said Daniel had to have been written after the fact. And here he says, and arms. So he's talking about the armies of the time. We have here a reference to the ships of Chittim, that's a reference to the Romans and the Greeks. Okay, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him, and therefore he shall be grieved. Of course, talking about this is going through the long line of the succession of the Gentiles or the nations that would control and be involved in Palestine and with the holy people. Because remember, to Daniel it says, to thy people Israel, 70 weeks are determined, or 77s are determined for Israel. So the prophecies are concerning everything from that point that prophecy is given up to the time of the end for Israel, when Israel is fairly forsaken as a nation by the Heavenly Father, even though they linger on for a few more years up until to 70 AD, when it's finally, they're utterly destroyed as a national presence. So we have that one reference. And that reference, it says, is arms shall stand on his part. So we're talking about a certain man, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination which maketh desolate. And some, they say that this is a reference to Antiochus Epiphanes, slaughtering a pig on the temple. This is perhaps a historical fact, and this is what this would be referring to. But there is another. This gives us a clue as to what the abomination to make it desolate is. If we take that and we add this desolation, this one, to the former desolation of the temple, we see that it was really Israel forsaking their God and turning into idolatry that brought about the abomination which maketh desolate. Now here, this was done. The daily sacrifice, the daily shall be taken a place, they shall place abomination that maketh desolate. But it doesn't say that it actually made it desolate. but maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt by flatteries, but people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But let's move on to our next reference here. This one may be a little more telling, and this one is in Daniel chapter 12. And let's jump back. I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, and when he had held up his right hand, his left hand into heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for time, times, and half a time, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. So Daniel did not understand any of these former things in chapter 12 that he heard. He did not understand. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he's talking to this angel who is telling him these things. And he said, the angel said, go thy way, Daniel. And of course, the angel is the messenger of Yahuwah. And whoever the messenger was, well, he's a messenger, so called an angel. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So that means you're not going to understand him. And who's going to understand them until the end, till the time of the end? So basically what we have here is the angel is telling Daniel, well, you're going to write these words down. You're not going to understand them, but there will be people who will understand them in the time to come. And we understand some of the things that Daniel couldn't understand then. But do we understand all things? Well, because all things have not been fulfilled yet. We still have the time of the end seems to be continuing on here. Who would have foretold that it would go on for 2,000 years when they proclaimed that it was the time of the end? It certainly was the time of the end of Israel because the 70 weeks was up. But these are the end times still. So he said, go your way, the words are closed up, sealed, as many shall be purified, in verse 10, chapter 12, and made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So are you being purified? Are your robes being washed? Are they being made white? Are you being tried? Well, we know that's a reference to us who accept the Messiah and allow His Holy Spirit to work to do His convicting work in our life, and that we repent of our sins and His law is written upon our minds and our hearts so that we only desire to do the things which please Him. That's what it means to be we're amongst the many who are purified, made white, and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. The wicked won't understand these things, but the wise shall understand. Let us be wise. Let us be purified. Let us be made white. And all of the things that try men upon the face of the earth, for the wickedness, the trials bring about bitterness and more wickedness. But for the righteous and the wise, well, they're purified and made white. So he says, but the wise shall understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, is he referring to the former chapter and to the, from that time, and so many days to the coming of the Messiah? And, you know, 1,000, it's, you know, approximately, what, 3 years? But he says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. So we have the last days or the end time, but we have the end of days. And what is the end of days? Well, I'm certain that would be the regeneration or the first resurrection. But we have here a reference to, of course, the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination which maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Okay. Is this a reference to, well, the former reference that was given in chapter 11? But we know what did happen. We know we can move to the end. The abomination that maketh desolate. We can at least move to 70 AD because we know that the desolation came. The temple was destroyed. Now this prophecy can't apply to today because there is no temple. And I would assert that when Yahshua was nailed to that cross in the midst of the 70th week, as it says, in the midst of the week, the sacrifice and oblation will cease. That's the sacrifice being taken away, isn't it? And the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. They had to repair that veil. And let me ask you a question. If slaughtering a pig in the temple was an abomination because it was an unclean animal, it was not what was required by the law, right? It was against the law. A clean animal was required by the sacrificial rite, by the law of Moses. So our Heavenly Father, He sends His own Son to die for our sins, to make that sacrifice once for all. And in the midst of the 70th week, He's hanging on that cross. He's been crucified, and His blood is shed for us. And just before He gives up the ghost, He cries out, and He says, "It is finished." And if you go forward to the book of Hebrews, you'll find out, it says there that He was a sacrifice once for all, that there's no more need for the blood of bulls and goats, which must continually be given, but He put an end to it. That being the case, any sacrifice, even of an unclean animal, would that not be an abomination in the temple of our God? Absolutely. It would be a rejection of His sacrifice once for all. So for them to go in there, replace or repair the veil in the temple, and start the sacrifice again, would not that be the abomination on the same par as slaughtering a pig? Would that not be on the same par as the abomination of idolatry which desolated the temple the first time? You know, many people may say I'm wrong, but honestly, you at least have to say there's a great possibility that I'm right. And the possibility that I'm right is greater than the possibility of those who hold to a future rebuilding of the temple and institution of animal sacrifice. There's a greater possibility I'm right because I am historically correct. You can't be historically correct if something hasn't happened yet. You can only be assuming that you're correct. You can only be correct in theory because you don't know the future. There's nothing in the scripture that says there will be a third temple built. It talks about the destruction of the temple. We have the destruction of the temple twice. It talks about the destruction of the temple after the first destruction, so we know that the temple was rebuilt and destroyed. But we have no prophecies after that telling us that the temple is going to be destroyed again after it was destroyed once. So it's all speculation. Any future rebuilding of the temple and destruction is only speculation. We have absolutely nothing literally in the scripture telling us that that's going to happen. So I'll go with the historical account, something that I know happened, and I will say that for me, that's it. Now, if they rebuild a temple, then, you know, I'll have to reconsider. But until then, it's only speculation because there's nothing in the scripture that says the temple will be rebuilt a third time. Now, I have some friends that theorize that, you know, they speculate that the Catholic Church is going to rebuild the temple and reinstitute the sacrifice. But to me, that seems absurd, knowing the Catholic Church. They hate Jews. They hate everything Jewish. They obliterated all of the Jewish names from the scripture. They've hounded and killed Jews throughout history, up until World War II, and through Hitler, they killed Jews. They had their Inquisition against Bible believers. And they killed more Bible believers than they did Jews. They had their crusades against Islam, but they still killed more Bible believing followers of the Messiah than they did Muslims or Jews put together. I don't see them doing anything Jewish. If the Catholic Church ever got a hold of the Temple Mount, they would build a grand cathedral there. Yeah, perhaps set up the cathedral of their Christ, of their vicar of God, their vicaris filii Dei, and set up a throne there for him to rule the world from, a great cathedral. That's what I see. So that's what I'll be looking for, you know, if that ever happens or can happen. And it's a good possibility could happen. You know, the beast, the first beast has recovered from its wound, apparently. But that's what I would look for. Not the rebuilding of a Jewish temple by that speculation, might want to be reconsidered. So we're going to go back to our Matthew reference here, and with all of that discussion in mind, read it. So when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And here's why I differentiate between the first reference in verse 11 and the second reference in verse 12, because the first reference in Daniel chapter 11 is given amongst the prophecy of intervening conquerors and rulers with the national Israel leading up to the time. And of course, this is Christ, Yahshua, after the 69 weeks, referring to something that is yet future, the destruction of the temple. And an abomination which maketh desolate. And that's what I was talking about when I said, akin to a pig on the altar is a sacrifice which is not acceptable. We have that demonstrated by Antiochus Epiphanes, who slaughtered a pig on the temple, and so many agree that that was an abomination that maketh desolate, which was foretold by Daniel in verse 11. But here we have another one. This is not that one. This is something different. This is something that which is yet future to Yahshua. But akin to that is any sacrifice made in the temple which is not acceptable to the Heavenly Father. Remember what happened to the priests when they offered strange fire? They were killed. They used to put a rope around the ankle of the high priest when he went into the Holy of Holies, just in case he screwed up and he got struck dead so they could drag him out by the foot. That's how, you know, serious this matter was. So once Yahshua, Jesus, offered up himself for a sacrifice, anything else offered in the temple, remember that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, putting an end to the sacrifice, they had to repair that veil or replace it and to reinstitute the sacrifice from that point. And any sacrifice they would have offered after that time would have been an abomination and an unacceptable sacrifice. It would be, if you have to have an event or an instance of a circumstance or an act that is called the abomination which maketh desolate, well, that would be akin to any other abomination, anything else that we could refer to as an abomination which maketh desolate. So he says, when you see this, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Another thing is that they saw arms with the former abominations that make it, that brought about the desolation of the temples. They saw arms, the arms of force coming in to the temple. And you have that with Babylon, and you have that with Antiochus Epiphanes. You have the force of arms. So that would have been an explicit sign that they would have seen when the Romans finally went into the temple. Because they didn't. They would not go in to the temple. You know, the Romans, their idea of religion of the other nations was to live and let live as long as they ruled and they collected their tribute and they didn't have rebellion. They were happy to go, okay, it's an abomination for you Jews to, or you Yahudim to have, Gentiles or Romans come into your temple, so we won't go in your temple. As long as you're good citizens, we'll allow that. And they allowed it. And the Romans did not go into the temple until 70 AD. Of course, Jerusalem was sieged about. They were starving in the city, so much so that they were eating their own young. They were eating the leather because they had no meat. The Romans said, we're going to starve you out then. You won't come out, we'll starve you out. You won't let us in, you're going to fight us. And they said it was a terrible, terrible, it was the most terrible thing that could ever happen to any people at any time, up to that point and into the future. It was a horrific scene around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was not just compassed about by Roman armies, but the Roman armies were so furious and so angry with the Jews or the Yahudim, with those rebels, that they set up they practically fenced Jerusalem about with crucified people. And not only did they just crucify them, they let them rot there. It was a horrific scene. Just dig into your history, and it's just a horrific scene. It was indescribable. So that was the great tribulation, you know, for Jerusalem. And it doesn't say there's a specific 7 years for that tribulation, that horrific time that was coming in. And finally they came in. They went into the city and they turned over every stone in the temple to get the gold out, which after they had set the temple on fire, the gold melted down between the stones. So they turned every stone over. Not one stone was left upon another, which wasn't cast down, and fulfilled the prophecy of the Messiah exactly. Well, that was a fast half hour. We're going into a break here. We'll be back.